3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, everybody? This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast on the airwaves. EG3 in the building. That's right, Eddie Greer III here with you guys one more time for our all-new post-race reaction edition of the podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of motorsports, the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Big D's joining me as usual down here in the EG3 garage area. And yes, once again, if I sound different, I am just getting over another head cold. This has been kind of a common theme every couple months since the winter season has come along. I've gotten these head colds for whatever reason, whether it's the weather change or not, but it is still cold up here in the MHK in Manhattan, Kansas. And also, it seems different recording this on a Sunday night, a few hours after the checkered flag falls. Of course, usually we record on Monday right after work, and it gets posted on Monday. Yes, this will be posted up tomorrow as usual, but the K-State KU game is tomorrow night, so that's why we decided, hey, let's just jump on the mics tonight and do this. And we saw hella great racing today in Atlanta, ended in a traumatic finish. We will touch on that here in the second half of the podcast. Also, the double dip, we will get into that right off the bat. The Xfinity Series and the Truck Series ran in the fog rain, quote unquote, yesterday. And somehow, kudos to NASCAR for getting both of those races in. For whatever reason, around this time, Atlanta gets bad weather. Of course, it's been a long time since I've been back down south, but it's been kind of like every other year we've seen this type of weather, and somehow NASCAR gets the races in, and they did one great job yesterday of getting those races in. But yes, before we dive into that doubleheader, yes, recording this on February, even Big D, you pull up the date real quick, there you go, February 24th. Tonight on this Sunday night in cold Manhattan, Kansas, and we're recording this the night before K-State's big game showdown, part two of the Sunflower Showdown. We'll talk about before we wrap up this podcast tonight. Of course, this will be uploaded tomorrow on iTunes, so while you're listening to this, the game's going to be going on anyway. So K-State, big time chance to take out KU. KU got lambasted last night. I don't want to get too deep in that right now. We'll touch on that based on that towards the end of the show. But speaking of lambasting the field, who dominated the field in the Xfinity Series? Whew. Last night, or I should say yesterday, that in the person of C-Bell, what I always call him on this podcast, Chris Bell, put on a show, but not before he had to hold off some challengers yesterday. That included a late race charge from Cole Custer, Championship 4 participant from last year. Christopher Bell obviously was also part of that Championship 4 battle last year. And of course, Bell, all those races, Big D, that one that he won last year and did not come up with the championship last year, well, this shouldn't be no surprise, because everybody probably in your little kid probably would have picked Christopher Bell to win this race. He did exactly that. And then, of course, held off a couple of charges from Cole Custer, and also a great start for RCR new man and defending Xfinity Series champ Tyler Reddick had a fast car yesterday afternoon. He comes up short a little bit, but Christopher Bell, the story in this one, sweeping the race yesterday in the Renai 250, started third, and there is no looking back. That Bell beatdown was on in the ATL in this one. And Christopher Bell said, you know, he was very sloppy in the win yesterday. Hey, you know, if you from the outside, if you're a fan from the outside, that looked like some fun to me. That wasn't sloppy from a number standpoint, if you will. I don't have the number of laps that he led in this one, but obviously he put on a show in this one. If Big D is working on that aspect of things here, but the 20 car picks up right where it left off from last year, except the title. Justin Allgaier comes up in the third position in this one, and right on cue, Christopher Bell sweeping both stages. And whew, and you recall yesterday, domination Saturday with Kyle Busch making a little history in the truck series. We'll touch on that. We'll get in that momentarily. Christopher Bell, C-Bell, leading 142 laps of the 163 schedule. A Bell beatdown indeed. But how about the start for this guy who, in my mind, is flying under the radar a little bit, and that is this cat. What a great start to the year, the 19, and we're not talking about Truex yet. We're talking about Brandon Jones, for same organization, but different level. The Xfinity Series, another top five for Brandon Jones. Great start for him this year, and he continues to impress me. As you know, last year, you know, stepping up big, he really would look good in the second half of the year, looked very fast, and got a great finish in Daytona. And here, picks up right or left off Daytona. I believe Daytona got a top 10 finish out of that one. As once again, Big D's going to work on that one. We'll also touch on the standings later on in this segment of the show here. As, yeah, he's pulling him up right now. Yeah, Brandon Jones, actually, that's, yeah, you're right, you're spot on. There you go. Brandon Jones, third, two top five to start off the season. And, yeah, he's, right now, he's flying under the radar a little bit. Two top five to start off the season, not too bad. Touched on Tyler Reddick earlier. Reddick had a fast car throughout the afternoon, and seemingly late in the game was going to give Christopher Bell a lot of trouble if the late race caution did not come out. It did. Reddick came out of the pits, lost a couple of spots, and ended up finishing still in the top five. But another story here to keep your eyes on that I've been impressed here. You know, we talked about him in the offseason, that and the person of Jeffrey Earnhardt. This guy's impressed me, and I'm starting to like this guy here. Yeah, obviously, he was in crappy equipment last year in the Cup Series. Played a huge role. As I take a swig of this water real quick, bear with me for a second. There we go. Earnhardt in that Roval, ending that Roval madness last year, and he's come out swinging with that 18 Joe Gibbs Racing. Didn't lead laps like he did at Daytona last week, but he finished solidly in the top 10 in this one, and it's actually scored his best finish to date, sixth. Come bring it home. Let's just bring down the rundown to the top 10. We kind of already almost covered it, folks. Bell, Custer, Allgaier, B. Jones, Reddick, Jeffrey, Earnhardt, Ryan Preece in the 8th for Junior Motorsports this week, finished 7th. We'll have a lot more Ryan Preece later on in the Cup Series. He was involved in a crazy situation on pit road. Justin Haley brings the Colleague Racing number 11 Chevy in 8th. Noah Gregson rallied back to finish 9th. And Austin Cindric coming home in the 10th position. You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, rolling along with Christopher Bell. Domination performance, getting his first win of the season. And also, now we switch gears. Well, the next race for the Xfinity Series, of course, will be next week, next Saturday. The Boyd Gaming 300 going to go down on PRN on radio. And, of course, FS1 has the Xfinity Series coverage there on that front. And now the standings as it is right now for the Xfinity Series right now. Christopher Bell, +4 on teammate. And McCarron bringing him up on the show here already tonight. Brandon Jones, Justin Allgaier sitting third, 18 back. Tyler Reddick is fourth, 19 points back. And we'll just stop at the top five, which has a three-way tie. Cole Custer, Austin Cindric, and my arg boy, Jeffrey Earnhardt, sitting there in that spot. Now, again, Jeffrey Earnhardt was not scheduled to run a full-time schedule. Last time we read news on him, he was supposed to be running only 6 races. And as far as I'm concerned, I would like to see him run a little bit more in that 18. He's been impressive so far, and I don't know if he's on the list yet. Obviously, it's not Monday yet here, but Earnhardt, he's been impressive to this point. Switching gears over to going 3 wide with the Atlanta race for the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series last night, which ended in history for guess who? That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch, Big D, been doing it throughout his career, again, shining where it needed the most. And this, obviously, Kyle Busch, he had to make an extra pit stop in this one. At one point, had to go to the back of the field. And not only that, but one stage one, and then went to the back of the field, and then went flying through the field, took the lead on Ben Rhodes late in stage two, swept the stages, the common theme of yesterday, and held on and held off the rain as well, because they had to stop coverage for a little bit because of rain, a damp racetrack. And I was furious. For one, I'm not get to it right now for different reasons, but you know, sometimes, you know, gotta appreciate greatness at one point or another. And Kyle Busch is just doing what he did there. And not only that, Kyle Busch puts him up top by himself in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series win list all time, passing Ron Hornaday. 52 wins now for KB in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series. In doing that so by winning late in the fog rain, quote unquote, in the ATL. Some stories coming out of there, which was the main thing that came out of here. The comments from Johnny Sauter about trying to wreck Kyle Busch. Now that is not surprising. The way that obviously Sauter drives and the way he's dominated the series over the last couple of years, including the championship. And was he intent on saying that? I don't know. But this does not surprise me at all that Sauter will come at Kyle Busch with words. Now, obviously that's one thing, but you better back it up. And I didn't see any of that happening for Johnny Sauter as he finished in a runner position there in the second spot. His teammate Grant Enfinger had another solid effort there in the third spot right there. Your defending champ and defending race winner from a year ago. That and the person of Brett Moffitt coming home in the fourth spot. Another swig of my water. Thank you for bearing with me. I told you at the top of the show, on the back end of this, so thank you for bearing with me. And, yeah, so, all right, so Ben Rhodes finished in the fifth spot. As I told you, he led 20 laps in this one, all of them coming in stage number two, there before getting chased down by the 51 truck and ultimately finishing the top five. Ross Chastain, once again, who's been dabbling in all three series, both races in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series for so far. Ross Chastain has put that 45 truck in the top 12 in two races so far in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series. Austin Hill was a story of the weekend once again. Obviously, I told you guys that on the weekend preview. You have not listened to that, go back and listen to that episode. But Austin Hill coming off that opening series win last week in Daytona, scored the pole, and all of a sudden he looked good there, and then he fell back for a little bit and managed to bring that thing home in the seventh position. Then Harrison Burton at one point was up there battling in the top three, finished eighth, and KBM All Trucks obviously finishing in the top 10 there. Todd Gill in ninth, and Timothy Peters. I don't know if this is a full-time deal or whatnot, but Timothy Peters, top 10s to start off the campaign for that 44 truck. So, again, I will keep an eye on that as the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series here gets chugging along here in 2019. So, yeah, definitely impressive right there. Some notables here from the Truck Series. Go down outside the top 10 here. Sheldon Creed finished in the 12th position. Matt Crafton was third late in this one. Left one of the crew members leaving a lug nut lost. You're sitting there laughing, Big D. This is why. He was 22nd and he made up spots late, but cost me. And we'll touch on lap traffic. We don't know where we're at this time, obviously, because he's going to pull out the stats tomorrow, or standings tomorrow, and this source are going to be sealed up and delivered on iTunes. We will know by, obviously, but next time we're on, which will be on Thursday night. But yeah, he was there, and that really cost me some points right there, because he was sitting in pretty good position there, and the results what happened to me today. Oh, I could have scored even bigger, but it is what it is now. I'm not so mad at the result of what happened because of today. But Matt Crafton had a chance to score back-to-back top fives. Didn't happen. Anthony Alfredo at one point was in the top 10. He had to settle for the 17th position. Stuart Friesen was in the top 10 also. He had to settle for 18th position. Natalie Decker had it once again. It's been a rough start for the 2019 campaign for Natalie. Had some more issues today, or not today, but last night. She finished in a 24th spot in this one. That's some of the notables right there from the race that ended the doubleheader last night with the Ultimate Tailgating 200. You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III, here on the back end of this another head coach situation. But I feel a lot better in the last 8 hours, or not 8 hours, 5 to 6 hours. Sinuses are gone. It's just my voice isn't up to par yet. And so, but folks, I appreciate you guys always tuning in to the podcast where we always talk racing and throwing in other sprinkles in the mix. But turning the page over to the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series standings to this point, and your regular season leader by one, Thor Sports Racing's Grant Invinger by one over Austin Hill. Your Daytona winner, obviously, Austin Hill is locked in to the playoffs. He's the only one locked into the playoffs right now. Ben Rhodes sitting in third, 14 back. Johnny Sauter, 18 back. Harrison Burton, he rounds out your top five in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series standings after two races, 24 points back. And the next time you will see the Truck Series, it will be next week, or I should say this upcoming Friday night, kicking off another triple header before the trucks take a couple weeks off. The Strat 200 going to go down Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. That is going to be 8 Central Time in the listening areas of Kansas, Oklahoma. Y'all know where it's at. And then, as Big D's getting the music situation queued up there, if you're listening on the West Coast, y'all can figure that out yourselves. But again, another reminder, once again, FS1 has coverage of the Strat 200 Las Vegas, kicking off an exciting weekend triple header of racing coming up for the truck. So Grant Anfinger, your points leader, heading there. And Christopher Bell, your points leader in the Xfinity Series. All right, folks, we're going to take an intermission right here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. When we come back out of the intermission, we're going to talk Cup. Obviously, we're coming off a couple hours, the checkered flag. We saw some great racing today. Yes, I talked about, I'm still holding my opinion until after the West Coast swing. So we'll talk about, but we saw some exciting racing from the restarts and an exciting finish right down to the checkered flag. All that and more next on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Rolls on.
Special to me. And then I think, you know, winning the first race whenever there's a major rules change, I think is it means something to me personally, because, you know, I think when you look at, you know, kind of the elite race car drivers over the years, being able to win with in multiple disciplines, especially in NASCAR, is really what sets them apart. So there's no, you know, maybe clearer mark than when there's rule changes as significant as this year, and so to be able to win and under those terms and kind of leave that mark is a big one for me personally, and for our team as well. And then I would add in the Ford Mustang. You know, it's it seems like Ford, or since I've been a part of you know, Ford Performance here for the last 5.5 years, each year just kind of incrementally ramps up their efforts in NASCAR. And switching from the Fusion to the Mustang, to me, was to me a big showing of the commitment that Ford has to NASCAR long term. And therefore, you know, it's always great to kind of leave your mark on that legacy, and to be the first one to win under those terms as well. So a lot of different things going through my mind, I guess, Jacob. It's hard to really put them all together. And, you know, I'm hot and tired, but it's certainly a very special day.
Well, folks, you're going to have to turn that part up at least. Welcome back to the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Grinner III here once again. Covering Gainer Outdoor, Xfinity, Monster Energy, the three biggest divisions of all of NASCAR there. Sorry for the low audio there once again. We're going to get it right one of these times. We usually get it right, but the last couple, first couple weeks have not been too good at all with the audio there. So you're probably going to have to turn that up if you want to hear more. Obviously, it's been a few hours since the chair flag fell in Atlanta. That was Brad Keselowski talking about, you know, what it means for him personally to be the first driver to win in the new package in the new year this year. And also, that was an interesting stat I read across while he was speaking right there. He passed Mark Donahue on a Team Penske all-time win list today by virtue of getting the win over Martin Truex Jr. there in Atlanta today. And the package itself, first off, let's be brief here for just a moment here. That was some good racing right there. I mean, the restarts, everything. I was scared. Let's be honest. I was scared a little bit coming in today and seeing, you know, how this is gonna shake out and whatnot. But I'm, like I said all along, I'll let it be, let it be. I have a further more value. Excuse me. Yes, I continue to burp up water here. More information than y'all need. You guys need to know. Sorry about that. But yeah, so there's that. But we saw three, no pun intended, three wide. Of course, name of this podcast. And we, Big D, we saw a lot of four wide going on, a lot more than usual. And of course, you can probably pull that off in Atlanta. Obviously, Las Vegas next week with a lot more grip in that racetrack. That is going to be the biggest test. Everybody has said that already. But this package already, you know, all right, I see what we're working with here. We're seeing three. Obviously, we know we're going to see three wide. But, you know, as instances in this race, I could feel that something was going to happen. We could see a couple of wrecks. We did not see wrecks. I was very surprised because, yeah, it can hold it wide open for several laps. And then we saw the field spread out like normal, like any other NASCAR race. So, you know, yes, I can tell. You can even tell by just watching the TV set. I know. And shout out to the fans that made the trip down to Atlanta for all the races. And there was a good crowd today in Atlanta. That deserves a huge praise down there, especially with the unknowns of the package. We've been kind of hyping it up on this podcast here leading up to right now. That was a good turnout in Atlanta. So shout out to the fans for going down there to see that race. Obviously, PETM podcast, lap traffic, they're down there. Obviously, PETM, that's where they're at. They live in Atlanta, our boys down there. And of course, lap traffic, Brandon Crowd made a trip back down there for the races this weekend. So they are a part of that. So exciting for them to be a part of that. But Brad Keselowski making a little history there for Penske Racing down there. And being Big D, you're laughing at me because, yeah, I had to go to small group there. And as funny as that knows, I knew. I didn't know exactly, but I knew a good finish was going to happen. It involved my driver, the 19 car of Martin Truex Jr., who had a solid day, and he needed it after a pretty much bad finish at Daytona, getting caught up in that 19 car mess down in Florida last week. Comes back, and I had some questions about 19 team also here, not from a performance standpoint, but how will this change? And I've told a couple people that are Martin Truex Jr. fans themselves that just give it some time. I'm telling myself that as well. Give it some time and we'll just see. Come back to me after the West Coast swing and maybe have something for you. Well, if this isn't any indication of this performance, yeah, Atlanta is its own old track. It's abrasive, eats up tires. You've heard it all over the last several years about the place, but man, he looked very good and he was very pissed after the race. I'll touch on that momentarily, but I'm kind of pissed also, but hey, I'm happy with, I'll take a second at this point early in the season and let that confidence build. But obviously finish, you know, I had to switch from watching the Fox coverage over to the PRN coverage. They do a nice job with their coverage there. And obviously, you know, they're passionate about what they do. And they do a terrific job of describing the race. MRN does a good job, too. But PRN, they do a good job. And switch it, 5 laps to go. And Truex, at this point, catching Keselowski because of the tire situation happening to his two teammates there. Joey Logano running inside the top 10 late. Had to go and come back in to put tires on it because of a tire going down. Ryan Blaney up in the top 10 all day long. And at one point, leading this race, had to come back down. Pit road pretty much ended his day down here. We switching screens over to the Marshall Energy side now. But Keselowski, I don't know if Paul Wolf told him to back it down, take it easy a little bit. But Keselowski, again, it looked like to me he was maybe saving just enough. He did just enough to hold off the hard-charging Truex car to bring home win number one of the season. So, I gotta tell you, that was an exciting finish right there. Another finish. Exciting. The Daytona 500 was as well to this point. And Keselowski, bring it home there. We don't even see Logano as Big D has it on our screen down here in the EG3 garage. He's not even in the top 10. He was. And tire problems took him out. So is his teammate Blaney as well. So that's the results are not indicative of how that team at one point, that team was 1-2 and 4 late in this race, and the tire problems caught up to them in this one, trying to push too hard or whatnot. But early on, Eric Almirola sat on the pole, scored a pole on Friday, his first cup pole since 2012. That's a long time for a pole, but Eric Almirola, you know, coming out strong, and this was a situation with him last year. Yes, it was his first year with Stuart Haas Racing, but it looked to me, he looked good early on in his race. Yes, he came back, finished in the 8th spot, and again, voice is still real froggy, so I apologize for that in advance. Hopefully, I have it back, but we got a big game tomorrow, so that's why we're trying to get this thing in now. So I hope I have some voice for the game, but who knows. But anyways, Almirola started on a pole. He led 36 laps, and then after stage one, his race went upside down, caught speeding on pit road, and he had to work very hard to get back all that track position back. Got half of it on his charge. The other storyline in this one, obviously, there's two more storylines here. Kevin Harvick, the Harvick King last year in Atlanta. Not the case this time. Harvick, he had to earn every position he had this time around. And yes, Kevin Harvick said, you know, this is going to be different. It won't be the same. And indeed, he was exactly right about that. And oh, and kudos to Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, being in the booth of the Xfinity Series. Two drivers who have owned this racetrack in recent memory. Harvick didn't own it like he's had the last few years, leading all those laps, only winning one race. That was last year, obviously. And Harvick had a couple times there, he had struggled with a tight handling a race car, that's not going to get it done. Harvick did lead laps, 45 of them, but he did not get the victory lane this time. That belonged to Brad Keselowski, who led 33 laps in this one. But Kyle Larson, how many times has we been saying on the Three Wide NASCAR podcast, Kyle Larson leading over 100 laps and can't finish the job? That happened again today. Kyle Larson was impressive early and often. He and Harvick were going back and forth throughout majority of this race. And then the pits happened once again. Kyle Larson tried to beat at Harvick, which he did, but sped on pit road. And the guys Fox were talking about not being yourself on pit road. That's what happened to Kyle Larson. And that gave the race away wide open. And Brad Keselowski snuck right on through there and took complete advantage of it. So, again, yes, it's early in the season. But you cannot. That's a bummer for that team. And obviously, Kyle Larson, that team has not been in victory lane since 2017. So, and with a talented driver and a good crew chief and Jack Johnston, and makes you question your head, you know, Larson maybe try to push it a little bit, knowing he had to get that track position. Let's take a swig of water real quick. Alright, so Larson there, you know, finished outside the top 10. It could have been a big day for that team, but come home in the top, doesn't he? He won stage one in this one. Kevin Harvick picking up where he left off, winning all those stages last year. Won stage two. Keselowski there winning the race right there. So, but another golden opportunity. Catch my hint right there. Golden Arches McDonald's. Golden opportunity missed for Kyle Larson right there. Cash in. He didn't do it. Got busted on pit road. And speaking of pit road, here we go with the pit road blunders. Oh, and Big D's back there laughing. You saw a lot of the race today, man. I'm proud of you, man. Yeah, man. So, pit road blunder, part two. Last week, we saw part one. Cody Ware and somebody else, I don't know who it was, no-name driver, comes spinning off of pit road, gets in the back of Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson's race is ruined, even though he still came back to finish in the top 10 last week. And there's that. There was caution was out for that, I believe. And somebody else was collected in that. I can't remember exactly who. Fast forward week later to this week. Ryan Preece was in the top 15. He comes down pit road. And he's done with his pitch, right? All right, so again, who's this cat involved again? I believe the same car was involved last week. I think it was the 52 car. Cody Ware. Did I say his name already? I didn't. The other guy, BJ McCloyd, and everybody else, and Mike Joy nailed it in the head that this should not have happened. Ryan Preece looking down his tack, trying not to speed. Obviously, there's been few guys have been busted on pit road in this one already. Almirola pretty much cost him track position. Kyle Larson gave another one away. Ryan Preece was working on another solid run for JTG Doherty in that 47 Chevy and gets collected in it, and he's out of the race. And yeah, he's damn right about that. Mike Joy, he's damn right about that. This should have not happened. There's no excuse. I don't care if you're on a lead lap or five laps down. You gotta pay attention to what you're doing. I'm sorry. That's low. And that's low. You cannot. Watch for your surroundings. Yeah, somebody come out of the pits and you turn him around. I believe Cody Ware that got turned around. Yeah, you're shaking your head. Yeah, Big D, you're shaking your head. Yeah, Cody Ware got turned around in his pit BJ McCloy tags Ryan Preece. Now, I might be wrong. Yes, it's a few hours after Trigger Flag falls, but this is no excuse. And Cody Ware, this is the second time in a row, I believe, you've been involved in this stupid pit road blunder, and you got to go down to the Xfinity series or something, man. That's no excuse whatsoever. I don't care you're Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Mark Truex Jr., Ryan Preece, Daniel Hamlin. I don't care. You got to know what you're doing. Getting on and off pit road, and you cost a competitor a good, decent finish. Ryan Preece, at one point, cracked the top 10 in this one. We saw some guys, a couple of shots, some guys, we don't call out very much on the podcast. They're up in the back half of the top 10 late in this one, though. But the strong guys eventually came up through there and rallied back for decent finish. We'll have full field run on here in a moment. But putting these guys on blast right now, yeah, I know what you're doing. I'm sorry. That's no excuse for it. You should be damn shaming yourself for doing that and taking the 47 out of opportunity to finish, have a nice finish. Because Cody Ware, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to get your head right. That shouldn't happen. BJ McCloy running these races, I'm going to leave it alone. That's I'm going to leave it alone. That's that right there. So part two of the pit road blunders continue, involving a good driver, Ryan Preece, unfortunately, the victim in all that mess. And before we get to full field run now real quick, though, toward the end of this race, you got the caution there, and that's a good transition. That pit road crap that happened, that caused the final caution of the afternoon, set up this. All right, so you had Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, who didn't pit. And that's the thing also. Joey Logano, this is why he came back down. He should not have came back down at all. You were only two cars on the lead lap, and you still had to come back down after a few laps to get your tires fixed or whatever, because you left your pit crew, who was the reason that he won that championship last year. The reason that won that championship because that pit crew makes a mistake, then don't get the tires tight on it, comes back down. Here's the thing, I just don't understand. Take your time. Two cars. You and Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch, congratulations, by the way. 650 start. His brother Kyle made officially 500 starts in the Marshall Energy NASCAR Cup Series. You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. But there's no excuse. Logano should not come back down pit road. But you know these things all too well, including myself. These late race cautions, with these late pit crew decisions or whatnot, trying to get off fast. This was probably one of the least times you're going to see two cars out on a racetrack on the lead lap during a caution. Take your damn time with the tires. That obviously did not happen. And Logano was in the top five. Comes back down pit road. Pretty much put his day in the trash can. Can't do that. That team should know better. Because, yeah, you won the championship last year, and you give away a good finish away. So there's that issue there. Second issue I have. You know, I've been around the sport quite some time now. Why are the lap down cars in front of lead lap cars? Somebody had to tell me that. I don't understand that. That also got me driven up the wall because, yeah, you have all these wave around cars getting involved. Yeah, they're back on lead lap. Yes, they should be back in their proper positions, not between all these lap cars. And this is the situation where Stenhouse, wait, hold on, Big D, I'm getting to that. Hold on. I'll get to that. But Stenhouse, Jimmy Johnson, who was way off pace, and well, it was Hendrick Motorsports. Chase Elliott, nowhere to be found. Jimmy Johnson, everybody say Hendrick back. Y'all ain't back yet. Jimmy Johnson, out to lunch once again. Yeah, it's early, but William Byron, pole sitter of Daytona 500, where you at? Alex Bowman, I don't see you in the top dozen on the screen. So, I mean, Hendrick not bad. They struggled. Now, yes, Las Vegas is the ultimate ace in the hole. But Hendrick struggles next week. y'all got issues. Y'all still got issues. But Jimmy Johnson laps down. Stenhouse in the middle of it. Bubba Wallace. I don't understand. This is, I'm getting fired up right now. Just talking about why are these lap cars in front of the lead lap cars. I did not understand that whatsoever. The lap down cars should have been behind the wave around cars. The wave around cars, all those cars that came around, Truex, Bowyer, and all those guys, they're back on the lead lap. So I don't understand why we had to start behind Bubba Wallace, who was 10 laps down. Stenhouse was a lap down. Jimmy Johnson was a couple laps down. A couple others were lap down. Austin Dillon lap down. It just did not. If somebody could tell me, tweet me an explanation, that would be fantastic, because I didn't understand that at all. That had me drove up the wall, because Stenhouse been in the news for the wrong reasons. And if he continues to be, you know what, he's not going to get the respect he needs. Because I got a tweet recently before I hopped on here from one of my good Truex buddies, friends, and she said, you know, Stenhouse, he was battling for the lap down, trying to get a lap back. I get that. I understand that. 100%. I'm with you there. But less than 10 to go. I mean, we've seen this most of the time now. You're not going to see it all the time. I get where she's coming from. I definitely understand that. I'm with you. 100%. Shout out Truex Station. Second place. That's right. But when it comes to this part right here, Truex is a much faster car, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. been in news because he's been treated poorly by the competitors, and he was called out by Joey Logano on Radioactive last week because Stenhouse, and we picked him on for Lap Track Fantasy. He did us some good there a little bit, but probably not going to pick him no more. Because nobody's not going to work with him, and he's going to do the same thing back. He won't work. He's not going to work with people that disrespect him on the racetrack. I mean, and Martin MTJ, I'm still holding to my opinion why I tweeted out today. He has the right to be pissed because he's 10 times faster than Stenhouse is. Yeah, Stenhouse started in the front row, but he faded. As the race went on, he started to fade, okay? So, you got all these situations here, and Truex, I mean, I don't know if it was cost someone or not, I can't tell, but Keselowski was probably holding something in the back, like I said earlier, and Truex, and he was closing hard on Keselowski there, and Keselowski, in my opinion, might have saved a little something there to hold off Mark Truex Jr. and give all the credit to Keselowski, who's been battling flu-like symptoms all weekend. He and his wife, Paige, apparently got sick on Friday. And Keselowski did not practice the car yet on Saturday. Austin Cindric took laps in it, so you should give Austin Cindric some credit for that win, too. Just saying. But, yeah, I mean, I just did not understand the Stenhouse. You know, a lot of drivers don't like him already because, obviously, if you heard Radioactive from Daytona on Race Up, you should go check that out because a lot of drivers were giving Stenhouse hell, absolute hell on the radio for what he is, and they haven't forgiven him from last summer doing all that wrecking. But at the same time, though, you got to respect that. I mean, we see it 90% of the time, at least. Late with situations, lap down car. You see, I mean, we see it, Big D. People pull over and let the guys race it out. Apparently, Stenhouse don't want to do that. So you're not on a lead lap. You're a lap down, 10 laps to go. Move the hell out of the way. Let somebody else get out front, battle for the win. You're too damn selfish to do that. So let's just get the hell on before I say something really stupid. But overall, my point is, still, I stick with my opinion. Move out of the way. Let the second place guy, whoever, race for the win. You do not want to play a part in somebody battling for the win. And once again, Stenhouse, right in the middle of the conversation, once again, in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. This is a 3-Watt NASCAR podcast with EG3. Man, y'all got me fired up as we toward the end of this show. Let's run down the full field, run down real fast here as we approach 9 o'clock local time. Michael McDowell, the story of the 500 shotgun. He finished after qualifying the top dozen in this one, as Big D puts back on the music here in this one. McDowell finished in the 37th spot in this one. Disappointing for him. Garrett Smithley, 36. Ryan Preece involved in what should not happen in that mess with BJ McCloy and Cody Ware. Preece, 35th. Landon Castle, 34th. Cody Ware, 33rd. McCloy, 32nd. Ross Chastain, 31st. Parker Kligerman, 30th. Corey LaJoy, 2nd week in a row. The car damaged up in the front where his face is at, 29th. Matt Tiff, 28th. Bubba Wallace, 27th. Matt DiBenedetto struggled in this one, 26th. Ty Dillon, 25th. Jimmy Johnson, 2 laps down, 24th position. Penske drivers, Logano, Blaney, 23rd, 22nd. Austin Dillon, he had a rough day, 21st. Daniel Hemric, in position, he was in the top 10, Big D, there, late, hit the wall, 20th, Chase Elliott, 19th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., don't want anybody to win a race, 18th, William Byron, 17th, David Reagan, good job for him, 16th, Alex Bowman, the lead, Hendrick Motorsports car, 15th, ouch, Paul Menard finished 14th, Ryan Newman, 13th, good for Newman in that 6th car. Kyle Larson leading 142 laps to only finish 12th. The winner of Stage 1, Denny Hamlin, your Daytona 500 champ. He finished 11th today at Atlanta. Your top 10 includes this here. And now, there we go. Daniel Suarez, how about that? Gets the first top 10 finish for Stuart Haas. 10th position there. Chris Buescher, how about that? Chris Buescher, JTG, 9th for the 37 car. Attaboy for Buescher. Eric Almirola touched on him, 8th. Eric Jones, that Jones boy. Rallis finished 7th. Kyle Busch in start 500 finished 6th. Bowyer, 5th. Harvick, the winner of stage 2, 4th. Kurt Busch, awesome for him. In his 650th start in the Cup Series, that's longer than Jimmy Johnson and I believe Kevin Harvick by far, if I'm not mistaken. Third, and then we already covered the top two. Martin Truex Jr. finishing 2nd again. The last time he finished 2nd was to another Penske driver. That was last November, to Joey Logano. This time, finishes 2nd to Brad Keselowski in the debut of the package, the Tabor Spears package, 3-Wire NASCAR podcast. Rolls on EG3 stickers here in a moment. But yeah, great racing all around. Passes, yeah, you pretty much got it all. We'll see the real truth, Las Vegas, next week. Let's take another drink of water here before we talk, or we give hand now, I should say, EG3 helmet stickers here in Atlanta race weekend. There we go. All right, so few more minutes on a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Again, I'm on the back end. For those of you just tuning in, I'm back end of this head cold that I got on Thursday night. My voice is still froggy, but I'm still chugging along. Thanks for bearing wind with me again, and hopefully I'll be full throttle when we hop back on here later on this week. Yeah, so, all right. So, EG3 helmet stickers this week. Grant Emminger, Ben Rhodes, Harrison Burton, in a truck series. Moving on down the line to the Xfinity series. Christopher Bell, Jeffrey Earnhardt, Brandon Jones, EG3 helmet stickers. And last but not least today, Brad Keselowski, Martin Trish Jr. needed a good run. He got it today. Came up just a bit short. Got down here. Lost track down here. Who we handed it off? Where's my list at? There it is. Keselowski, Truex. Big D, you had one. I'll get to that momentarily. Kurt Busch and Big D's honorable mention. This is going to be new. He wanted to add this in here. I don't let him speak because he has stronger opinions than me, or a stronger voice, I should say, than me. So I hold him back on the back, producer side. But honorable mention, Big D style, Chris Buescher getting a ninth place finish. EG3 helmet stickers of the week. Honorable mention, Chris Buescher, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex, Brad Keselowski, Brandon Jones, Jeffrey Earnhardt, Chris Bell, C. Bell, I always call him, Grant Finger, Ben Rhodes, and Harrison Burton. EG3 helmet stickers this week coming from Atlanta weekend. Again, real quick, giveaway at 350. And so, yeah, we're going to redo that. So, I have the item that I want in mind. We'll see that pans out. We're working on that. So if I get Twitter handle at EG3_FastEddie again. EG3 at FastEddie. 350 followers. And I will give away a racing item or items that I have for you guys here that continue to listen to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. All right. We'll save lap traffic fantasy for last. K-State, as I mentioned, put a spanking on Oklahoma State yesterday, beating by almost 40 points here. My voice is about gone, so I'm trying to make this quick. But Bama, I don't need no stands for this one, so you can just let it be. K-State, all they need to do, go into Lawrence, which obviously, you know, everybody's been hyping up Kansas. Kansas is going to win 15 straight. Kansas is going to win 15 straight. For those of you who are not living in the Kansas area, Kansas Jayhawks is a rivalry, in-state rivalry in football, and especially in basketball, where they've owned the Big 12 the last 14 years. Now, we shared a title with them in 13. That was my senior year in K-State. The golden ticket is right there for K-State tomorrow night. They handle that bit. They go in there and take down Allen Fieldhouse. You put yourself, you're more than in the driver's seat to win the Big 12 Conference. You don't do that, we most likely will share the title. Because Big D, we were talking about that yesterday. They look this good, and they win tomorrow night because they jumped on the Cowboys yesterday right from the get-go in Kansas last night. They have had their struggles this year, but they missed the bus last night. So they got hammered last night. So, I mean, I believe it till I see it. Believe it till I see it. One, Fran Vashela, all you guys, all you ESPN guys out here, and, you know, K-State, they have one chance, one shot, one more chance. Kamal Stokes, Barry Brown, Dean Wade, the senior class, all the experience they've had. We've almost beat them last year in Lawrence. We've almost beat them the year before that also. So at one point, it's going to happen. I mean, if Syracuse go in Duke and beat them, yeah, Duke turn around and beat Syracuse yesterday, last night, but I'm looking at it from that point. If Syracuse can go in the Cameron Indoor and beat Duke, sure as hell, K-State has a great chance. All that experience going there and put up a fight against KU. Yes, KU, they're going to be a different team. You ought to know that by now. You play in this league. You play on against them 8-9 times in your career. You put them down in Manhattan. Now it's time to put the clamps down on them and put them away. And put all this talk about winning 15 straight in a garbage disposal. drop the mic on that. So, looking forward to the game tomorrow night. And that's why we're recording a night earlier. So, looking forward. Definitely excited. And, boy, my voice is about to go away. I've been fired up the last 25 minutes. But, hey, look. K-State has the golden ticket right there. And everybody around the radio station around here talking about, you got to win now. Got to win now. Time is now to get it done. Or you have no more chances left. So they know what to do. I don't need to say anything else. These guys know what to do. Sneed, everybody else. Something's about to go down big in Lawrence tomorrow. And K-State can really, really be in the driver's seat for this if they can take care of Kansas tomorrow night in Lawrence in the Allen Fieldhouse. There's that. One more subject here in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Again, thank you for joining me tonight. Big D, behind the glass, EG3 here with you. Eddie Greer, III, and Lap Track Fantasy will end the show on Nest tonight. We could have had more points if John Nemechek did not spin himself out. I don't know. You know, I was listening to this on MRN Radio last night. He was our pick, or my pick, in the Xfinity series. And I'm going to try. This is why I'm not going to say much. I'm not going to give away my strategy. I'm not going to do it. But Nemechek, I went off base record, pass record. He's been strong. He was sitting in 10th, gave away a couple of points. Not more than a couple. He gave away 10 points yesterday. So we got 23 from John Hunter. Bad start. Matt Crafton, mentioned earlier tonight, Matt Crafton was sitting third, after the mess caution from Parker Kligerman in the Truck Series last night. And Matt Crafton, the crew member, left one of the lugs off, come back down. Crafton, 22nd, finished 14th. Lost points there. So that's nearly almost a 10-point swing in both of those. And then today, apparently, picked the winner, while everybody else apparently picked Kevin Harvick to win, which is, of course, yeah, understandable because of his dominance. But Brad Keselowski, a winner today. Yeah, a lot of people will be, I guess, happy with that part of it because, yeah, I'm a Truex fan. But I'm looking at, as a fantasy, trying to be consistent here, that was huge. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, getting Keselowski, hitting that one out of the park, right there, Keselowski. Either it's going to be him, Harvick, pick Brad Keselowski right there. So, and I truly, to be honest with you guys, I didn't think he was going to win today. He's battling the flu, and that race car, did not look good 100% at all. And that thing, for what it is, that thing came to life there for Keselowski there in the second half. He came charging through the field, so that was just pure driver right there. That was pure domination. That was pure determination by Keselowski to put himself in that situation and jump on it right there. We're going to take a fast pit stop. Jumping to the gun too soon? Yeah. Alright, we're going to take a fast pit stop right here. And we'll lay down social media and we're getting out of here. 3-Wide NASCAR podcast rolls on in just a minute.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
EG3, 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Coming to an end tonight on the Sunday night, few hours from Brad Keselowski taking the checkered flag. My voice is about to shut down. So, in it with this. You can follow me at Twitter, at EG3_FastEddie. Hopefully my voice will be full swing here, but at EG3_FastEddie. And of course, you can find the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3, on most where you get your podcast. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, Stitcher. We're about everywhere as usual. Add a 3Wide NASCAR podcast to your collection of podcasts wherever you listen to your podcast. And this will be uploaded tomorrow night, like usual, on a Monday night, like normal. But as I've mentioned, this will be going on while K-State, KU be playing at 8 o'clock local time tomorrow night. It is going down, and K-State has among, I know K, everybody has K-State, not K-State, KU has a lot online, but hey, K-State has a lot to play for as well, a shot for a Big 12 championship, or title, I should say, is on the line tomorrow night. So that's why we went ahead and recorded this, still with my voice, not 100%. And this one you probably already tell, or you should have already tell by now, as we're way late into the show. But I appreciate you guys hanging with me tonight. And I got fired up in that second segment right there. So good stuff tonight. Big D, thank you for coming over tonight on sort of short notice. But hey, thank you for what you do. And yeah, Big D, let's wrap this thing up, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be a wrap for another edition of the post-race reaction tonight of the Atlanta Race Weekend, the Folds of Honor. Quick Trip 500 went down this afternoon, and Brad Keselowski came out on top, battling through like systems to get his first win of 2019. Eddie Gritta III saying thank you so much for tuning in, and be out on the lookout later on. We'll be back on again this week, as usual, for the Stage Break edition of the podcast. But this has been the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Congratulations to C-Bell, Kyle Busch, and Brad Keselowski, winners from Atlanta. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good week.
Podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3 wide.